All right, welcome everyone. So now we will be looking at 8000 Wisconsin Avenue. Just a reminder that this is being recorded and the recording will go on the website as well as the meeting notes. 8000 came to us twice before at sketch plan, and they're here again before they submit their site plan application, as was requested at the last meeting. So I'll hand it over to the team.
Good morning, Bob Dalrymple with Linus and Blocker. I'll ask our team to identify themselves.
Andy Tchaikowski, SKNI Architecture.
Matt Gordon with Linus and Blocker.
Sami Kirkjulu with SKNI.
Mike Goodman with Vica.
Carlos Montenegro, my own law firm.
Thanks for having us back in. As was just mentioned, this is our third time to you. And I think the first time we took it the left and the right and left wobbling a little bit. But we came back to you again at sketch plan. And I think the my interpretation of the remarks that we got were very positive from the panel, with some specific directions again on things to look at, and in particular relationships to the adjacent properties and the frontage on Wisconsin Avenue. And since that time, we have had a meeting with staff and got some valuable feedback from staff, and we are back before you prior to submitting our site plan applications, hoping that we have met your goals and objectives for the site. Just to kind of recap, this is an internal lot, which I don't need to tell you all creates some challenges of its own, made even more challenging by the fact that the properties on both sides of this project were approved for redevelopment under the old zoning standards, and without the benefit of architectural review or the feedback from this panel. And why do I say that? It's because we have to make this whole block make sense, and when the bookends to the project aren't being built by the same rules as this one, we have to be very creative in terms of how to make the block work. I think we've accomplished that, and with that, I'll turn it over to Andy to take you through.
Good morning, everyone. I think everyone's pretty familiar with the project. Just to kind of recap, we did kind of take all back at sketch plan, you asked us to look at the buildings, look at the adjacent properties. We were able to get the models for those properties, the 8008 and the 7900. We're working with the other developers, specifically the one that's in the ground right now, the 7900 JPG building that's under construction, poles dug, foundations are going in. So we're well aware of sort of those conditions now. And then we've basically, you know, we took sort of the massing strategies that we worked out with you guys back at the sketch plan, and we're moving forward with those notions. So with that, I'll kind of quickly just kind of go through the project and just reorient everyone again. So we're north is left. We're north on Wisconsin Avenue between Cordell and Fairmont. The site receives St. Elmo's from the south, the JBG deal. 7900 is creating a plaza here with a through block connection to Wisconsin Avenue. The building also receives West Virginia Avenue from the east. And then the site is sort of an irregular sort of two rectangles. There's a little extension on the north end. The northern property is being developed by Toll Brothers and has an approved plan. And then obviously this one's under construction.
And there's a holdout parcel there, if you could point to that.
Yeah, exactly. So there's the Bethesda Chocolates is to the south. And so the plaza that JBG has designed integrates sort of the wall of that, and we address that as well. One thing that we will notice is obviously the setbacks, the right-of-ways, and some of the right-of-ways have been different between the three properties. So we're addressing the new right-of-ways, and then the design incorporates a lot of the adjustments to receive those buildings. And I'll kind of walk through that more carefully. Here's the site a little close-up. here's the Bethesda Chocolates sort of on Woodmont at the end of St. Elmo's. Here's the ground floor plan. So the thesis of the project is to create sort of the large retail experience on Wisconsin Avenue and provide as much retail on Woodmont as well. And obviously we worked through with Department of Transportation and staff to orient the loading and the garage ramps on Woodmont Avenue an adequate distance away from Cordell to minimize queuing.
And that was actually a very important comment we got from this panel our first time through, was to relocate those loading and access to the south.
Which and then, yeah, exactly. So then, the just to kind of orient everyone, we do have the BRT. There's a planned BRT station here at the corner of Cordell and Wisconsin. We are providing a setback to respond and allow the adequate clearance around the BRT, which is actually influencing our design, some of the design decisions that we've made. We can talk about this angle as we go forward, but the idea is really to marry up and stitch together the block in a holistic way. So as you go up Wisconsin Avenue, there's this long linear stretch of retail for 7900. There's the portal that takes you through the block. There's this extension which sort of recognizes and responds to the Bethesda Chocolates that pierces through the blocks. We have continuous retail. And then, JBG has responded here with a sort of a blank wall condition, so we'll be landscaping that. So the idea is we're kind of getting as close as we can to with the new right-of-way. You can see the right-of-way differential between the new right-of-way and the old right-of-way here. It's inherent right there. So we're going out as far as we can to get as close to that entrance as possible, and then running along, and then we're inflecting back to allow and accommodate the clearances around the BRT, and then tie into the 8008 project, which has retail and lobbies on Wisconsin Avenue, and then turns around the service off of Cordell, and then continuous retail on the corner of Woodmont and Cordell. Then on this lower, we have about 7 feet of grade change. Wisconsin's a little higher, about half a floor, a little over a half a floor. Woodmont's lower, so we pick up that grade change through the building, as well as then we connect the retail here. Then we have a lobby, our residential lobby. All of our primary lobby activities are on Woodmont. To provide as much retail on Wisconsin as possible, fire control room, loading, garage. So that's the lay of the land, if you will. Going up, like I said, we do have sort of we have opportunity for a double height space, a double height lobby space, larger height ceilings on Woodmont than the open to below over the loading. And then the footprint of the building, and this is kind of where we're going in, and you'll see it responding in the plan. So the intention is to create a three-story base, and these are the lower levels above the lobby space. And the idea is to kind of fill out the block as much as possible, connect to 7900 here, receive this. There's a courtyard on 8008 as it goes up, so to kind of marry up to that as close as possible, create a northern courtyard on the left side, come back in and then engage that blank wall. There's essentially blank wall. This building's been designed as an urban building to receive this wall. So we have a blank wall here, a blank wall there, and then the 7900 has a blank wall there as well. We think we can provide a nice double height amenity space over the loading docks on Woodmont that come off the lobby below. And then we have a larger courtyard to the south where we can put as much buildings. And the big idea is to open up as much as possible to the 7900 site and create sort of a continuous, at least open air, above the podium, above the so-called base, the podium, and above the Bethesda Chocolates to create an open air courtyard experience above that. Then as we go up, the building sort of shaves back in response. So we do step back even further. And as we go, the big story here is, which we discussed back at sketch plan, was to engage the buildings and then terrace and meet them and terrace back and create sort of, at one point we talked about inflections along here, and I'll describe that as we go forward in the facades, but we do set back here on these in between floors and then kind of bay back out gently to create corner conditions for 7,900, but also to legitimize the units and the structure as well. And then as the building gets up, it terraces back as the buildings finish, both to the north and to the south. And on the roof, we do have an amenity piece with amenities that extend above, have a rooftop pool, and features on this to have views of both to the east and to the west. Going back down quickly, and I can talk about the devices. It's sort of, we envision this as sort of a way to solve this challenging, complex building, is to kind of simplify it as much as possible, and to create, we decided that it was in the best interest to kind of create a kit of parts, and I can kind of describe those kit of parts. Sort of, there's four of them that we thought we could use. One is this glass spine, which connects sort of it goes through the block, connects Wisconsin Avenue to Woodmont. We provide sort of the, we're calling it the gridded frames, which are the base wall of the main walls of the building. We have what we call the stitches, which is essentially what stitches the buildings together in the corners and ties the projects all together. And then the last piece, the fourth piece, is the articulated base, which we'll see that as we go down. Quickly, just going down, we do have several floors, four floors of garage below. We're working through that, the structure, et cetera. The parking, we have bike parking on the first level down off the lobby, one in this corner, another one in this corner. And we can work through that. And then a little extension of the bottom. Section-wise, I think one of the dynamic things that you'll see is that we're providing sort of a larger mass on Wisconsin Avenue, and the building tapers and sets back on Woodmont as well, and it creates an interesting sort of a expression over the Bethesda Chocolates and terminates the St. Elmo's Street. This is a section north-south, so this is the 8,008 block, courtyard that creates between our project and that one, and then sort of the open air, this is what I was saying, trying to create a large opening space between the 7,900 and our courtyard as well. So with all that, I'll dive into the facades. So again, the idea of the glass spine, the kit of parts, the glass spine on Wisconsin Avenue, the gridded frame that extends off of that, with a series of balconies and layering of facade layers. We envision this as a masonry expression with inset panels that could be of masonry or another panel. Detailed balconies, these are full extended balconies. The third piece is the stitch, which kind of ties into the 7,900, comes down, wraps around, and then engages back against 8,008, and then the base. So the idea of one of the things, there's sort of a lot of intentional misses that we're trying to happen and create. So we understand that the JB or the 7,900 base runs along. It's a tall 1.5-2 story base, comes in midpoint here. But we also know that this their large residential frame floats above. It's sort of the fourth floor. So we tried to miss that intentionally and create a 2-story frame in our base with legs that flex, so we can have the same sort of expression on Woodmont at a different height. This is a view coming from West Virginia Avenue. Again, this glass spine, which everything grows off of, comes down, terminates West Virginia Avenue. The idea of this angle is very intentional because it is the sort of the plane shifter, the plane change that takes us from the typical Bethesda sidewalk to an enlarged sidewalk that accommodates the BRT at the corner. And then this is a view coming from the north side, looking at the 8,008, how we engage that as well. So we kind of get close at the base, rises up, and then our frame comes off and extends. We think that this particular one where you see the entire street wall of Wisconsin, it's really a collage, a composition of frames and pieces and elements and vertical elements that all sort of kind of bounces along, try to create variety along the thing, respect the different setbacks, but then, you know, obviously recapture sort of the real estate that's needed, to make the project viable. I'll remind everyone, this is a, we are going, seeking 25% MPDUs, so, which is, and this building is over 100 units of MPDUs. So we will be, I think that's why this kit of parts is really working for us, because it is sort of a framework of repetitive pieces used in an artful, creative way to tie the buildings together. I'll just kind of keep working around the building. So then this, the last part is the articulated base. The idea is the walls above and the layering of the materials. So there's a light material with the back, with the darker material that's in its recess. And then the stitch is the dark, it's the reverse of that. So we have the base wall is the darker material, and the lighter material is the layering behind that. And that all sits upon the articulated base, which in lieu of sort of masonry would go maybe to more of a stone product, so we can have a more handsome, rich, elegant expression. We really like the proportions of sort of this frame that floats above the base, but we also understand and appreciate the grounding of the base and creating a rhythm of piers and that separate the potential different tenants. So we have sort of a darker frame with a metal sort of transition piece that runs through there. And then a series of canopies that, you know, encapsulate the public realm. This is looking from the north, looking down. You can see the metro would be to the south here. And then see this animated streetscape. So the 1.5 stories of the 8008 ours bumps up to 3 stories, and then the playfulness of the 7900. It creates quite a bit of plane change, material changes, ins and outs, articulation along Wisconsin Avenue, which we think is fantastic. These are some more vertical views just to see the perspectives of all the buildings kind of tying together. And then I can walk you around. And we come back to Woodmont. This is the corner of Cordell and Woodmont. This is the Thai restaurant on the corner there of the curvature. The 8008 comes along, and then we repeat those elements. And so the glass spine shifts from receiving West Virginia on Wisconsin. It shifts, and then it comes and it lands over our lobby. So that tower element creates the lobby entrance for the residential. This is the high retail space on Woodmont with that, again, that same proportion of the frame of the three-story base, of the two-story floating element of the base. And then the legs can shift and flex as it goes downhill. And then our loading and our garage entrance to the south. Here's the Bethesda Chocolates just south of us that goes up 1.5 stories. The 8008 screening elements, the 7900 screening elements on their new through-block connection. And then our terrace, we're planning on our terrace to be kind of at roof level there. And I was saying before, the gridded frame is really sort of our base wall, and we created this three-story, I think at one point we called it stacked dice, but the idea was that extends off the building just slightly, but this building angles, tapers back, and creates the setback, and then it tapers into this sort of really interesting, not very common sort of proportion, because it is sort of a narrower proportion, and we've dropped it 3 stories on the top to really get that expression of the glass spine coming through and coming down on Woodmont. And it creates and opens up this courtyard quite a bit, because it sets back off of this, off of the base. It's pushed back, it's tapered, and it has the layers within that frame. And it responds, I think, with some of the bridge of the 7900 as well. This is the view kind of looking north along Woodmont. So again, all the new streetscape, this entire block is going to be completely rebuilt with all this development. And then it has that three-story lower scale reading. But these buildings across the street, these are also, you know, zoned to be much taller as well in the future. And then this is the terminus of the if you're coming north on St. Enlow's. So we have the opportunity to create something interesting on that lower wall next to the Pheasant Chocolates. And then again, that interesting kind of proportion of the sort of the extension that commands over the, it looks down upon and hosts that plaza as well. And then we can talk about, this is the diagram of the challenge. We talked about this back at sketch plan, was how do we engage, and this is a diagram to your point earlier of what happens if we did strictly adhere to the design guide setbacks. The idea here is that the other neighbors did not need to apply those. They didn't. They were before the design guidelines. So if we did absorb the full 30-foot setback on our side, on both sides, it's 150 feet wide building. So if we took 30 and 30, we're down 60. So we have a sort of an awkward 90-foot bar in the middle, which is a difficult residential geometry. And then we would be exposing blank walls on 8008 and 7900. And it creates sort of you get the gap, but it's the gap of sort of unfortunate exposures. So we thought that tying in and then creating sort of like the tapering at the top was a better solution based on, you know, sort of the economics of the project and the aesthetics of the project, because you still get a very dynamic, an interesting composition along Wisconsin Avenue.
I don't want to downplay the economics of it. The hit on the economics of this project to implement this would be catastrophic. Just to be very candid about it, the project could not be built, and certainly it couldn't be built with 25% MPDUs. But we think the approach that we've taken is a better approach from a design perspective, but it's also the necessary approach from an economic perspective.
So that's sort of the spiel. So it was really, it's a kit of parts, design tied together, stitched together the three blocks.
Well, I really appreciate the effort. I'm still really concerned about the bulk and the density. I hear what you have to say. I think we objected to the bulk and the density the first time you guys came in. And you were at 430,000 square feet then. You're at 430,000 square feet now. There's no attempt to really reduce the bulk. It is interesting that the site is mapped at 3 FAR. You're really at 10.5 FAR. If you count the NPDUs. And I think while you're not, you don't necessarily have to count it, but it becomes a measure as to bulk. I think there's just too much bulk on this in this project. I do buy into the fact that the north property probably has a party wall you should never see and you should probably build up against it. I'm not so sure about the one on the south side. I think that wall could easily stand on its own.
Just to clarify, a portion of the site is a 5 FAR.
Hmm?
A small portion of the site is a 5.
Fair enough. But you're still a 10.5. Be real, it's really a 10.5.
However, you have an approved sketch plan. Yeah. At that density.
Mm-hmm. There is an approved sketch plan?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But you can always go down. I mean, the sketch plan is just the top.
No, I just mentioned that there is a formal approval at that density.
Right, but it's important. I mean, it's the sketch plan is conceptual, and if the density needs to be reduced to meet the compatibility and the other requirements, I mean, that's certainly an expected element of this process.
I mean, I really thank your explanation before. Working pieces was very helpful, and not only that, seen this quite a bit.
Sure.
This is the first time I'm actually at a point where I think I really see it evolving into something that is clear, simplified. I love the fact that the angle on your building, which is facing the north, is actually reflecting an angle, similar angle on the JBG project, which is facing south. So there is some continuity between the two buildings. I think the way the skyline has evolved on Wisconsin Avenue has a logic that even though there's a lot of things happening, it is not going to cost us. It's a clear group of components that are making good sense. So compared to my previous impressions, I personally am very pleased with the progress that's been made. That's not addressing Rod's concern about density or the separation of buildings. In my mind, I've gotten over that, but that doesn't mean that somebody else somewhere along the line that may not continue to be pressure. But I guess that's enough good for us.
I think that the separation on the north end, I never thought that that was probably an important piece. But I think on the south end, it is more significant because you have the two, your long elevation, and then the elevation to the south is a long one as well. And that is difficult. That's been a difficult one to see, just because it ends up being such a long mass of building.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I think it's difficult. I mean, this building is almost twice as long as our building.
Exactly.
And so, you know, kind of paying for their sins, if you will.
And the condition we received at sketch plan was to make sure that we are addressing the balconies of that building. The sketch plan envisioned, I think, that we would not be exposing the blank wall, that we would be doing precisely what we're showing you.
I think that joining, I mean, the
but
stitch.
But I think that blank wall could be exposed.
Or what?
You know, go back to your last slide. If you don't mind.
The last one.
Where you did the analysis. You know, I think that's pretty telling that, you know, one of the goals of the guidelines was to create separations between buildings to create latent air. And, you know, when I looked at that and got it a week or so ago, I thought, well, it's getting there. I mean, that's one of the goals and aspirations, is not to create these continuous walls. And, as I said a moment ago, I think you could back up against the building on the north, because I don't think it's a building you really want to see that wall, based upon what I've seen or what I can see in the research I've done.
And I think the issue is really, it's the burden of, the design guidelines are very specific. In the perfect world, both buildings set back 15 feet.
Sure.
So this, when one property is then burdened with the entire.
I don't know if you need to be burdened with the entire 30 feet. And you know, the. I mean, even if there is a way, and is there a way, where that portion on your site, the black portion in your rendered elevation, could be set back even more. So that there's a noticeable gap between the two buildings.
I mean, so just to be clear, those are 18-foot balconies, and I think we've held back more than half of the balcony, like 10 to 12 feet. They still have the burden of they are on the property line, and they pushed their terrace door back, 6 feet to account to allow openings on the property line. But it really is I think we illustrated that at the sketch plan. It's only a single door because the rest is all blank because of the property line issues. So they're kind of playing it both ways. They're playing like a corner building, but they are a party wall building. And I think that's the.
But can I ask the question? If you go back to the image you had just before this one, or actually maybe it's better head on. You have a, what appears to be a zipper that is separating the two buildings. And I guess the question is, could that zipper not the entire facade that goes all the way across the face of the building, but just that zipper be moved farther back, so that there would be not about exposing the balconies, but a real sense of shadow between the two buildings, that you really are feeling like there is a more of a gap, so that you could take whatever the units are in that building, and then would have those units could continue to exist, but they'd have to be another 5 feet back or 6 feet or whatever the number is, that one zipper could be farther back.
Interestingly, if you aligned it with their current, the end of their current balcony, it would be about 6 feet further back, and that might be a tie-in that might, I've been thinking the same thing as a possibility. I don't know what it does, but.
Yeah,
you know.
And I think that's sort of a.
Hi?
No, the unit is, you know.
But, the whole, you know, yes, you're giving up every R, but it is, when you look at the 74 plan at that point, one would make a possible logic that moving it back and aligning it with that other balcony would give you a better shadow line, and also might less complexity in terms of configuration.
I mean, it is an 18-foot kind of gap, I guess. Right now it's essentially 12 feet back. So to go back another 6 feet, I mean, it'd be an 18.
18 by 18, that's pretty good.
Or 18 by 12.
Sure. I'm looking for a compromise position maybe enhances some of the concerns. But I think you've got a lot of good things happening.
You don't understand.
George, I think we can do that. I think we can set it back 6 more feet.
I mean,
on that end.
We've all solved more difficult layout problems with residential units in the past. Yeah, the other option I was thinking was maybe.
Go back to the plan. I don't know. I don't quite understand what does really do for you, setting it back 6 feet or.
Well, it gives the appearance that the guidelines have been. It's an attempt to meet the guidelines.
I hear you, but I mean, I think, like, you know, in this instance, in terms of urban design, I mean, you're trying to create an urban wall. And you don't see cases that you got, you know, if everybody from the beginning followed the same guidelines, I would understand. You're kind of doing something that's stitching these two existing buildings. Having a gap there or not, I mean, very unusual. You don't see an urban condition that something like that happens, right? I mean, just very odd.
Well, the urban wall is important, but the, you know, and you see it everywhere. You see it in Chicago, you see it in New York, you see it everywhere. But in here, in Bethesda, the guidelines are trying to create a sense of breaks and of towers. And so it's a slightly different expression than just the full urban wall. So I think the idea is to attempt something here that makes it not necessarily align with the balcony next door, but to make a physical gap between the two buildings, you know, the appearance of a physical gap.
I mean, ultimately, in Bethesda, topology will emerge that it's more of towers than street walls. And I think that was really the goal, the aspiration by putting that as part of an integral part of the design guidelines.
Well, it's not going on. You got to see. I mean, what's going on? What's been approved is, you know, a bunch of buildings that are touching each other and so forth. It's not really.
Well, I think that's why we're trying to say you need to find a way of adhering to the design guidelines. Everybody, not only you, but all the other developers that have come in after you, and architects come in after you.
And the unique challenge here is that we have projects on both sides that didn't have to play by those rules.
I completely understand that. I completely understand that.
And we've been dealing with that, and you've been compensating with it. And it's perhaps less than perfect, but
it's
well on its way.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, just an observation, if you're just worried about density, it would be easy enough to pull that back, and then the western side could be extended enough to make a difference. So, you know, from a area standpoint, you don't have to lose it. It's whether an 18 by 18 slot's going to make a difference.
No, I'm just here talking about more conceptually what does it really do, you know. You can take a slop of it, you know, just like what we're trying to get out of it at the end of the day.
Yeah. But sometimes we, I'm not sure we both have done it, where we have introduced this kind of vertical separation between masses that has been successful in breaking the continuity aspect of it. But I will say, in your defense, the architecture itself is doing a great deal to modulate that homogeneity of the whole block. I'm looking for a...
So we are right now just talking about recessing it back, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of time, yeah.
Yeah.
So the idea was to make a sort of legitimate sort of footprint that allowed both of the corners to have a similar expression of the building or construction.
We can look at what we can do on Wisconsin Avenue, basically, recessing it back.
Andy, maybe you could bevel that corner. If it makes any sense.
I don't think so. Just recessing it back. Okay.
I think it's agreed.
We can look at it.
Well, I think we've heard you loud and clear. So it seems like we're going to be seeing you again.
Well, I think on a more positive note, I think your relationship to St. Elmo's and to West Virginia is dramatically improved.
Absolutely.
And I think that the breakup of the mass is also very nice. I like the idea of sort of that Chicago style of the different grids that are kind of overlapping each other. And I think that's very nice. I think ultimately this is, you know, that glass box is sort of drawn very simply right now, and I hope that, you know, it will have a very nice detail to it. I for some reason it bugs me, but the shallow floor on the top is kind of seems weird. You know, if the grid is, you know, it's either equally going all the way up or maybe the top one is taller.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You know, so that it gives it sort of a top to it. But
why
do we have a board? It's an odd sort of, you know, three quarters of a floor. But, you know, it's a detail, a little detail. But I think it's come a long, long way from where it was. And, you know, you guys have done great.
Well, it's very important for the timing of this project that we can get a site plan filed and start getting the review time going. And I think that, you know, the promise that we had made is that we would come back to this panel and get further input before filing the site plan, which we have done, and we've heard you. But we need to file. So if we are coming back to you, I would ask that it be post filing and before we go to the board. Yeah. So do you need to see it again? No, it can't be before filing. Okay.
I think after filing's fine. I think after filing, they want to see it. I think staff would like the DAP to have the benefit of another look at the design as it develops.
After filing, before board.
Right.
Are there further comments from the panel? Okay. Would you be willing to take one comment from the public? We had someone sign up. Yep. Okay. So Amanda.
Hi. Just listening to this discussion and looking at these new renderings, just a couple thoughts. One, I really do like how you did the spine there to be that sticks out. That looks really nice. And as well as the Woodmont side continues to, you know, I think is attractive. The massing is good. But where, to me, there's a problem still, like everyone has said, is the Wisconsin Avenue side. And my neighborhood will be facing this building, so we have residents and homes. We'll be looking at this building. so I really urge you to look at the massing on there, and if there's any way to bring it closer to what we're seeing on the Woodlawn side, I think that would really help, because it's very busy right now. 7900, this project, and 8008, it's a very busy block. That's my comment, to look at the Woodlawn side and see if you can bring the Wisconsin Avenue side a little bit closer to what's happening there.
All right, so because these folks are coming back at filing, would you like to make any comments on whether or not you think it would meet the minimum 10 benefit points? If you have those comments, you can make them. Otherwise, we can postpone those until the next meeting.
Well, I think we're asking 20.
Yeah, it's just to see if there are any red flags, at least to reach the minimum.
Oh, I see.
Well, I'm going to speak personally. I think the project has too much bulk in it. Until I see a reduction in bulk, I'm not going to endorse it.
Okay. So it sounded like the major issue still is how to either articulate or create separation on the south side. The north isn't as much a problem, that the bulk is still an issue, that the treatment of the top, maybe making that top floor higher, also detailing the glass box more, and I think those are the major issues. Are there any major issues that I missed there? Say that one more time.
I will support conditions.
Oh, you don't have to vote yet, okay. Because they're going to come back, but thank you. Yeah. Okay. All right, so those are the major issues. You all will be coming back to us. Thank you all.